I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but... scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Score!
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Yeah, Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck. So you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on The Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Steve Rosenbloom, here for Saturday Suckage. Let's find out who else is here. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, like, do we suck?
Pat Fitzgerald.
Sometimes you gotta embrace the suck.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys... nothing I make anyway. You guys suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby!
Oh my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan. Terry Bars!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck. I tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Went.
We had fun, but there you go. I sucked.
Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man! Turn it off! It's sucking my will to live!
Steve Dahl.
DeSchoir sucks. DeSchoir sucks.
Sean Sears.
What's going on, Rosie?
Yeah, wake up, Sean. Don't be like the White Sox manager. You got to wake up. You got to stay awake for the next 3 hours.
Oh, we're not allowed to take naps right at the beginning?
You're here. You got to act like you're here.
I'll try. I'll see what I can do.
I want to welcome everyone to Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. Summer lost causes. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Our phone number right here at the Score is 312-644-6767. That will get you to our listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, 312-644-6767, also gets you to the Score's Tech Zone. The Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. This is WBC, Wake and Bake Club in Frankfort. Kentucky is here for the suckage. Here is misspelled. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Love that. 502. Here is misspelled. But hashtag WBC, Wake and Bake Club is spelled correctly. This is quite a show, quite a day, quite a thing going on. At 11:20, we'll talk with Scott Merkin. He covers the White Sox for the MLB.com site. And it's a thing to talk about the White Sox, but I have something spectacular to talk to him about, because we have talked about this in the past. I will be in a couple days standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. Such a fine sight to see. At 11:40, I did not know this until this morning. You may not have known this. Today is the 43rd anniversary of Chuck Swirsky's debut, Chicago Sports Talk Radio, the city's first weeknight sports talk show from 7 to 11. He describes that we had no ratings. We had the lowest ratings in American broadcast history and no commercials. And so it's just Chuck being Chuck Talk. There are a few nicer people in sports than Chuck Swirsky. And he has lived it, seen it, done it. He is the voice of the Bulls. Calls the radio play-by-play right here on the Score. I can't wait to talk to him about what it was like in those early days, 43 years ago. Berwyn, hello. And what he's seen, what he's heard, how he got to where he was. Chuck's a wonderful person. It's great to talk to him. I look forward to that. At 12:20, Mark Grody will be here. This is his show. It used to be his show. He's not on that show, but he will be on this show. Not only will we be talking Bears, and I'll explain why this is pure idiocy and lunacy that Justin Fields is playing, but part of this trip I'm taking with my son as I accompany him and one of my granddogs out west, as he is moving, my granddog is moving, my daughter-in-law and my other granddog, we will be stopping in Albuquerque. And I have my Heisenberg hat. Those of you, if you know, you know. Grody knows. We'll discuss that with him. Let's cook, Jesse. And at 1:20, we will talk with Megan. I'll talk with Megan Montemurro of the Tribune about the Cubs. They keep talking. They keep making a lot of, really, they just sound like they're shoveling it. With a lot of there from the owner on down about biblical losses and Cub fans don't deserve this and the general manager, this reminds me of 2014 and blah, blah, blah. We need to see something, and we need to see something positive. We've seen some things that are positive. We've seen an uptick. Cubs are having a better time right now than Sox are. Cub fans are having a better time, I think, than Sox fans. So we'll discuss that with her. And there are other things going on, like August 26th, yesterday, it was a hell of an anniversary for birthdays, for a a major sports anniversary, if possible, bigger than even Chuck Swirsky's debut. We will talk about that later on. But first, we can't ignore, this is Saturday Suckage after all, we cannot ignore the White Sox. A week ago, God, this seems amazing. A week ago, they were 5 games over .500. That was the season high. And that's a sentence that already tells you how much crap their fans have had to eat while this team, this World Series or bust team, has just soiled the bed all season. Last night, they were booed off the field, and I couldn't help thinking they're really lucky it's not bat night. They lost 7-2 to a dog breath Diamondbacks team that is 30 games out of first place. Literally and exactly, 30 games out of first place. That's who the White Sox lost to. And now they're back at 500. They lost another opener of a series. They've done that almost two-thirds of the time. Almost two-thirds of the time, they've opened series with a loss. And last night they did it at home, where they are an unconscionable 2 games under .500. And they lost in front of 33,054 fans. So that, of all the numbers of the crap that is the White Sox this year, that really jumped out at me. Imagine, this is a team, all of its fans know, but this is a team that has urinated all over any kind of momentum. Got a somnambulant manager, GM who didn't understand the object of the roster exercise, players who refuse to adjust and adapt and hustle, and are then told not to bother hustling the way they apparently are told not to bother with even the basic parts of defense, i.e. catching the ball. So this kind of pitiful team is giving away a spectacular chance to make the postseason because the division sucks. And this team still draws 33,000 fans on a magnificent night of weather that would have been better spent by Sox fans at a whatever Aaron Rodgers retching resort recently opened. So Johnny Cueto sucked, right? He's entitled. He was their most valuable player, and he wasn't even here for a month. And this is where anger devolves into pity and sadness and hopelessness. If I'm reading Sox fan, a form of Sox fans. If the White Sox can't win a Cueto start to open a gotta-have-it homestand against a team 30 games out of first place, then really, why are you doing any of this? Why would you continue doing it? Why care? And now the Sox, this team that is in a death spiral, has lost the last two starts by Cueto and Cease. This pathetic performance last night was followed by the greatest choke of the season. The Sox were a strike away from taking a series in Baltimore. They were a foul ball away against a young charging team with hope that the Sox used to be, and they're not that team anymore, and the defensive replacement sucks at defense, and the closer gives up a rookie's first career home run. They lose in walk-off fashion later on. And it seems to me, over those two games, they've showed zero mental and emotional makeup to overcome it. They've lost for the seventh time in 9 games. Chairman's hand-picked Hall of Failure baseball person, are watching something we could call the white flag fade. Sox are in third place. Game behind the Twins, 4 games behind the Guardians. They're 5 games out in the wild card, such as it is. They have a tragic number you can begin tracking, by the way. Their tragic number is 34, meaning any combination of Sox losses and Guardians victories that adds up to 34 eliminates the White Sox. It still seems too far away. The hope, though, is that it eliminates some people in jobs they've obviously failed. We're at a point in the season where we've seen the White Sox fail to seize momentum. Players have gone out there and just stunk. They've been zombies. They've gotten worse under the chairman's manager at defense. They've gotten worse at base running. They refuse to hustle. They're told not to hustle. They have 3 home runs in the last 10 games. This is August, ladies and gentlemen. They have 3 home runs in the last 10 games. Albert Pujols alone has 4. The players, is it fair? Is it time? I really hate doing this. It's such a metric-driven, we can all look at metrics, all look at numbers, you're succeeding or you're failing. But at some point, when you see a team so inept at grabbing momentum, so totally impotent when it comes to seizing an opportunity, don't we have to question their mental and emotional makeup? I find it so hard to question anybody who makes it to the major leagues, for whatever it is. Moonlight Graham, he got to play in a game, he never got in a bat. Making the major leagues is a major accomplishment. You are required intestinal fortitude. That's one of the boxes that has to be checked. Emotional makeup, mental makeup. There's 2 boxes there that you need that to make. You need that to make the major.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To get to the point where the manager puts you in the game, even the somnambulant embarrassment of a manager in the White Sox dugout. And yet, this World Series or bust team, this team, go back and look at it. I don't see how we don't question their emotional and mental makeup. Remember under Ricky Renteria in that pandemic year, they were the first team to qualify for the playoffs. And they ended up with the 7th seed. That's it. We're good. We're done. we can just forget it. We don't know. All right, well, did you learn from it? You don't know how to win? Well, they won one playoff game that year. And the next year, under the Hall of Failure baseball person that they fired Ricky Renteria for, he could only match Ricky Renteria's one playoff win. This year, World Series or bust in America's worst division. And what's happening? And where are they? They're in third place. They choke away a game. They are one strike away from winning. They're part of something that has never happened before, much like a 1-2 intentional walk. And then they come back. They come back at home with their most valuable player. Dylan Cease might be their Cy Young candidate, but Johnny Cueto is their most valuable player. And he has the kind of night he's going to have once every 11 starts. And you see nothing from the offense. You see nothing that these players can say, we are mentally strong, we're emotionally strong. There aren't metrics for that. Maybe that's why people aren't talking about it, because we can't measure the spin rate. But they've shown zero ability to get up and to play and to take charge of anything. It still might happen, but we're almost at Labor Day. And we've seen every sign that they cannot do it. And now, what is the Hall of Failure baseball person who is old school, which means he should be able to judge who these players are inside and out. And we've seen the general manager, unfit to put together a roster, seen him make judgments based on a lot of decimal points and numbers. Now what? Well, it's the players. They do it or they don't. They leave us with the idea they're mentally and emotionally incapable of doing what they said, which is the World Series. We'll talk with someone who covers the White Sox next. This is Saturday Suckage, so yeah, of course we're talking about the White Sox. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Romo will flip to second, and the Diamondbacks take the opener. 7-2 the final. And Johnny Cueto's been so good this year, but it's hard to be great every time out.
They came to see us win a ball game. We got beat. And most of the game, I mean, lopsided, right? They have every right to be upset. The team, manager, whatever they want. I mean, they got every right to do it. But I'm just saying, the fact that they were here, and they did say, let's go White Sox. There's amazing, amazing fan support here. And I've got plenty of experience. But there ain't no free lunch. You know, it's a two-way relationship. They support you, you got to give back. So we got to do more about giving back.
Yeah, that's interim White Sox manager Tony La Russa talking after the game. Len Casper on the final TV call of the White Sox 7-2 loss to the Diamondbacks, a team 30 games out of first place. Yet another series opening loss. The White Sox, they've lost about two-thirds of their series openers. Among the many things that make this team a struggle to watch them be a struggle all season in baseball's worst division. Let's find out what it is up close and see how much combat pay is deserved. Scott Merkin of MLB.com, he joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Scott, do you have reliable sources confirming the Sox will indeed play this weekend, or is there something afoot that they won't?
No, they will play this weekend. They have a plethora of players injured right now, but they will go back out there. And I think they're very good in game twos of the series, so that should be, although they're facing the number two guy, I think, in the Arizona rotation, like kind of 1 and 1A with Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly going tonight. So, you know, here's the interesting thing, and this is really not rose-colored glasses, although I can hear people collectively rolling their eyes as they're waiting for me to say this next statement out on the airwaves. But the fact is they're four games out of first place, you know, and I mean, they're a 500 team, and they've played every bit like a 500 team, and they're the ones who have, you know, talked about that they are, you know, a 500 team. I think it was A.J. Pierzynski who said to me, I've used this line 1,000 times. The record doesn't lie, right? So you're a 500 team. So you can say, oh, they should have won that game or they should have won this game, but there's probably games they won that they should have lost. So it evens out in the long run. But the fact remains is no one still is taking control of that division. Now, the Guardians have played a very tough Seattle team after winning twice in San Diego, but now they've already lost two out there, and they get Luis Castillo and Robbie Ray for the next two. So with four games left against Cleveland, nine left against Minnesota, including six of the final nine, it's still out there. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do to get it, but it's still out there. And, you know, the only factor working against them besides they haven't played very well is Cleveland finishes the year in a rare six-game series against the Royals at home.
Well, yeah, but how do the Guardians fare against the Royals? There's some division teams that just kill you, even though you should be better than them, and that should be, I mean, we've seen the way the Sox have gone against bad teams, and it's been great, but only if they get to play Detroit for the last 25 games of the year do you feel confident they'll make the playoffs. So I don't know how the Guardians are against the Royals, if it comes down to that, if the Sox make that.
I don't know their exact record, but I would say, you know, nothing against the Royals, who have some good young talent, but they're, what, 25 games under 500, so I would think having six straight games at home would probably be a pretty good way to finish. Now, I'm guessing the Guardians are not going to wait until the final six games and try and win it then. I'm sure, like the other two teams in that division, they're going to try and make a statement before then. But, you know, they do have that benefit. And again, you know, you get in the majors, you're a pretty damn good, you're a very good player to get there. So, like you said, anything, I remember in 06, the Twins had a ridiculous finish to the season, and they needed the Tigers to get swept at home by a bad Kansas City team to win the division, and the Tigers got swept at home by a bad Kansas City team, and Detroit ended up being the wild card after leading for most of the year. So strange things happen in the game of baseball. I should copyright that phrase. But they, you know, so you never know. You never know. And that's the thing is, again, Sox have not played, you know, they're 2-7 in their last nine after they got to five games over and had two really solid wins against the best team in the American League. And now they're 2-7 since then, but the fact remains they're four games out of first and five out of the wild card right now.
Yeah, they're about five or six teams out in the wild card, and they're...
Yeah, it's more the division. You're right. The division is the race you're looking at, really, is the AL Central.
And the Twins, I'm not sure what to make of them. They're and I'm not... I don't care if Buxton's there or not. Like, I'm not going to go woe is me on them. The White Sox have had their share of injuries. They were supposed to be deeper, and they were supposed to perform, and they were supposed to be a team. I said in the previous segment, Scott, and we become overwhelmed with numbers and decimal points and all kinds of whatever algorithms, the metrics, that you look at them and go, this is good. We want this. We want Trace Thompson has a 1.018 OPS against right-handed pitchers, and he's a right-handed batter, so why isn't he here, old friend? Like, and you look at that, and we don't know how he would do in this circumstance in that clubhouse. It comes a point in the season where the numbers don't measure the emotional, mental makeup and willingness. This is a team that has, for 3 years now, never seized the momentum, never seized an opportunity. They were right in the pandemic here, they were the first team to clinch a spot in the American League, a playoff spot, and they ended up with a seventh seed. And last year, they're strong, their division, they're playing well, and they win the same number of playoff games under the current manager that they did under the manager they fired to get the current manager. And this year, with all that World Series or bust talk, they have yet to show any kind of killer instincts. I don't know. From your position, we've done this a lot. We've looked at the numbers, but looking at the emotional and mental makeup, it's a really hard thing to do, but I don't know how you avoid it at this point in the season, or are you just going to wait till the end and say, and offer some conclusions?
Yeah, I would say that's tough to analyze unless you're, like, you know, talking to the, and not even, I'm not even saying me or any of the other beat writers, but unless you're inside these guys' minds every day, you know, these guys bust their butts to get ready to work. And I think, you know, one of the things that's been talked about many a year in baseball is if a team is not hitting, and the Sox have not hit consistently pretty much the whole season, you look lethargic, right? So then people say, oh, they're soft, which I think is a silly word in anything for a professional athlete, or they're weak or whatever. But I think it's just, you know, you look at a guy like Trace Thompson, and it really is the right fit. Trace is a great kid, very solid, you know, talent-wise, and just I don't think ever had the right opportunity at the right moment, and he's getting that with the Dodgers and doing well there. But, you know, I would say in 2020, they had a very nice year and then had a horrible finish. Just, you know, I think it was 3-10 if you count the playoff loss to Oakland to finish the year, and that's not going to get it done for you. Last year, I think, considering the injuries, was a really good season, and they just lost to a better team in Houston in the playoffs. So, and that's where, you know, coming into the season, people thought, okay, they learned from that, and they were going to be a team. You know, many people, it's not just one or two, many picked them as, you know, a World Series contender. And again, it's not officially over yet. It's not done by a long shot, but it doesn't look that way as of, what is today, August 27th, I guess. So, you know, they for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked this year. And, you know, injuries, as you said, Byron Buxton has played hurt for a long time, and he is essential in that Twins lineup. So you can't just say, you know, injuries and say, well, that's the reason. But, I mean, think about it. You know, that lineup last night, no Tim Anderson, no Luis Robert, no Yoan Moncada, no Yasmani Grandal. And, you know, Aloy hurt himself, you know, which not hurt himself, but reactivated an issue that Rick Hahn had talked about was going to pop up from time to time after the surgery. So, you know, it's, I think it's tough for any team to win when you take that many guys that you're counting on out of a starting lineup. And Johnny Cueto, he kind of laughed afterwards because both myself and James Fegan were asking him about, you know, what felt different about this. And he just kind of smiled and said, I just had a bad start. You know, he said, I'm human. And I think people forgot that he's human because he's been so ridiculously good this year and just had an off night last night.
Scott Merkin of MLB.com is my guest. We're talking White Sox here on The Score on Saturday. Suckage. The idea that they lost the last two, the last start from Cueto, and that followed a couple days, the last start from Cease, is really depressing. I know Giolito pitched the kind of game they needed from Giolito, and you're looking for, again, still looking for reasons for to be optimistic because, like you said, four games out, Cleveland is what it is. In any other division, Cleveland would be a try-hard team. You just sort of pet them behind the ears and say, okay, run along. It's time for the big boys to play. But they are the big boy in this division. And the pitching's been there. The hitting has not. You've heard a lot this year. Why? Why can't this team hit for power? Three home runs in the last 10 games. Albert Pujols has four in the last 10 games. He's 42 years old. So what have you heard? What do you believe? What do you think about why this team has been so powerless?
It's a good question. I don't have the real. I mean, I remember it was last night. It's amazing I can remember last night. But we were watching the game last night, and Romy Gonzalez crushed a ball to right field, and it left the bat, and you're like, okay, how far is that going to go over? And it ends up at the wall. Jose Abreu hit one deep to center field. That ended up in the warning track. Another one that looked like it was going to go. And then Rivera for the Diamondbacks hits one, and it goes, you know, four rows back in the left center field stand. So I don't know. I don't know the answer, aside from the fact that the guys who they've counted on for power, you know, guys like Grandal, guys like Moncada, have been hurt or slash also underperforming probably in relation to the injuries this year, and they haven't gotten the same power production from those guys. But just in general, they do not hit home runs. You know, they lead baseball in singles, and that's a big thing because they're not a real fast team. You know, there's not a lot of team speed in the White Sox. So if you're not hitting home runs, you're relying on a big rally to kind of, you know, string a number of hits together to get runs because you just don't have the speed to change it. So you need that you know, the old Earl Weaver, the three-run homer to change the game, and that just hasn't happened this year for this team. And it's really happened kind of across the roster, so it's an odd situation for the 2022 squad.
And this whole roster could suddenly decide to become the 27 Yankees and hit a pile of home runs of the.
Well, that's the thing is, I think, you know, how many times have we said this year, and I think they've probably said it too, maybe they don't think about it as much as we do in the media or the fans do, but has there been a win where you said, well, this is it, this turns things around? You know, that first Houston game was a great win. Or the second Houston win was a great win, and it just hasn't happened. You know, it's happened for a short term, but there's been no 15-4 run or anything like that. You know, they just have not put an extended stretch of success together. Well, they have 36 games left. They have some quote-unquote easier games on the schedule. You know, they have four in Oakland. I believe they have six against Detroit. They have three coming up against Kansas City. So, you know, there's some games to be had there, and then they have the 9 head-to-head with Minnesota and 4 with Cleveland. So if they do have it in them to put a run on, you know, and suddenly get things together and this, you know, maybe get some guys healthy. Grandal went out on his injury rehab. You know, Robert is probably going to miss this weekend, but they hope is going to be ready to go against Kansas City on Tuesday. Moncada's day today. Eloy is supposed to play tonight. So if they get all these guys together and get them back, well, I mean, it's there for them, but they just have to go out and do it at this point. They're running out of time, as we say.
Right, and then when they go to Oakland, you think it's easy. They're like 3-10 in Oakland in the last 13.
Yeah, Oakland, you're right. Oakland is a very – Oakland has – even the best of Sox teams have always – I think teams in general, even as bad as Oakland's situation is this year, which is sad because they have a great baseball guy managing them in Mark Kotze, but – you know, it's always seems like it's tough for the Midwest teams when they go out to Oakland for whatever reason.
All right, Scott. So I'm going to, after the show, I'm going to be taking off on a road trip as I accompany my son because he is my son and one of my granddogs are moving out to Los Angeles. And along the way, we're going to, we'll be in Albuquerque for the Breaking Bad part of the tour. And then I-40 takes us right by a corner in Winslow, Arizona. Such a fun.
Very nice.
To see, and I will have pictures. I will stand there. I will achieve supreme eagledom. I don't know what layer of eagledom that is, but I will I will achieve the Jackson Brown eagledom. We are planning to stop there, even if my son doesn't know it yet.
That's tremendous. You know, in all the years I've been in spring training, I think it's 21 at this point. I have never, on an off day or a couple off days, made that three-hour drive. I think it's about 3 hours from the Valley to Winslow, and basically because I've been talked out of it by most people who live in Arizona who say, you know, just buy an Eagles t-shirt online, and that's about the same difference as going to Winslow. My apologies to anyone who lives in Winslow. But, I mean, I heard but I'm sure it's a beautiful area when you're driving through. So if you do, grab me an Eagles shirt if you can, an authentic Winslow, Arizona, standing on the corner there in Winslow, Arizona.
I'll see what I can do about that. I know there's a statue. I'll be there. I'll have pictures. I'll have proof. Thanks
Excellent.
For coming on, Scott. I appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, Steve. Take care. Have a good
All
trip.
Right. Thanks. Scott Merkin, MLB.com. We're going to take a break, and we will talk to a groundbreaker, a pioneer, a man who, while you're listening to Sports Talk Radio now, online, live on the radio, whatever it is, on Saturday Suckage, this person was at ground zero of daily sports talk, nightly sports talk with no commercials and the worst ratings in American broadcast history, as he says. Things have improved. Things have changed. We will hear from him after this. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I think the power may have gone out near courtside, because I'm looking at my guy Chuck Swirsky right now. You know Chuck ain't taking his headset off unless something's wrong. So I think the power may have gone out, unfortunately, on that section. There's Chuck and Bill.
Chuck might have spilled a drink on the wire.
Is this your fault, Swirsky? Is this your fault, Swirsky? So Chuck's and you know what? Dedication from my man Chuck Swirsky, because he can't call the game right now. What does he do? Right back to Twitter, letting you know what's going on. A play-by-play man in every sense.
Yeah, there he goes.
Indeed, a pro at all levels for all these many decades. Welcome and welcome back, Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum. I'm doing sports talk in Chicago, largely thanks to my next guest, who did it first on a weeknight basis. Chuck Swirsky joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Chuck, thank you for jumping on, and I want to share with people a tweet you sent out today. I had no idea. I don't think anybody except you and your closest knew. Today's the 43rd anniversary of you doing the first weeknight sports talk show in Chicago. Do I have that right?
Yes, Monday through Friday. Thank you very much, by the way, Steve, for the introduction and the invitation. But we did Monday through Friday from 7 until 11 p.m. on WCFL. The station made a transition. For those who are newbies, so to speak, to radio and the history of Chicago radio, WCFL was a long-standing rock and roll station that produced a lot of really good, and back in those days, they called them DJs, disc jockeys. And so in 1979, WCFL went up for sale, and the Mutual Broadcasting System bought the operation and it became an O&O, in other words, owned and operated. And Mutual was headquartered in the Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia area. And they decided to go News Talk, and a headhunter called me. I was doing sports talk in Columbus, Ohio. And they called 15 minutes before I was on the air one night in Columbus. I thought it was a practical joke from a friend of mine, and I hung up. And the headhunter called me right back and said, if you do that again, you're, no question, you're off the A-list. And I said, oh, I guess this is legit. So I sent a tape. Back in those days, there was no such thing as the internet, obviously, and no social media, which may not be a bad thing. But having said all that, I submitted my work. They called me. I came in for an interview. It lasted 15 minutes. I thought I had no shot. And next thing I know, I'm in Chicago.
So what was that like in Chicago? Major format change. Here you are, and you're the new guy, and you're doing 4 hours a night. What was that like? Share with the class, Chuck.
Okay, well, number one, the management wanted sports talk to be quote-unquote different. So they sat me down and said, okay, you can talk about the four majors, but we want you to talk about billiards. We want you to talk about backgammon. And we want you to talk about Ducks Unlimited. I had never heard of Ducks Unlimited. I had no idea what were we talking about. We were talking about ducks and they're unlimited. And so it was almost from 7 until 11 o'clock. You never knew what was coming on. But then management kind of wised up with the help of Gary Deeb, who was the radio TV columnist at that time for the Sun-Times. And they, you know, took the chains off, and I was able to do 4 hours of Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, White Sox, Cubs, major college sports, everything. And it just started to percolate.
All right, so everybody who knows you in the last several generations, Chuck, you're a man who, you wake up and you choose positivity, you choose happiness, you choose passion, you choose enthusiasm, and it's wonderful, and it's a great example. But there is always, in the media, there's always an opportunity, a temptation, to choose to be a contrarian, to choose to be on the muscle. So share with the class the Chuck Swirsky broadcast persona 43 years ago compared to the one that I just think is terrific and a wonderful example today.
Wow, that's a great question. Really good question. So you have to keep in mind for the context of what we're talking about, I'm 25 years old at the time, and there was a blank canvas. I came to Chicago, didn't know a soul, no one. And all of a sudden, I'm being exposed to a Cubs organization that was totally mismanaged and had to be sold, which eventually it did by the Wrigley family, to the Tribune Company. The White Sox, Bill Veeck, you know, there were rumors that the Sox were going to pack up and leave and go to Denver. And, you know, the Blackhawks weren't drawing at all, like at all. And then you had the Bulls, who just lost the coin flip for Magic Johnson, and they drafted David Greenwood with the second pick in the overall draft. And so you had all these teams, and so they turned me loose. And I was really critical of the Cubs. And one day a fan called and said, you know, I am so frustrated with this organization. What should I do? And I said, well, as a fan, you have the right to decide not to listen to the game, not to watch the game, or not even go to the game. And out of my mouth, it was not planned. I am telling you the exact God's honest truth. Out of my mouth, it said, snub the Cubs. And it caught on. And it caught on. And all of a sudden, newspapers were interviewing me about the date. And it was going to be August 29th of 1980. And the Houston Astros were playing the Cubs. Now, again, we have to keep in mind, the Cubs weren't drawing 35,000 a game back in that era. But nonetheless, it really started to mushroom, and it got bigger and bigger. And I'm actually writing a book about my experiences in sports radio. But I did mention in one of the chapters that Arlene Gill, bless her soul, she just passed away. Wonderful woman, great human being. She was working for a number of Cubs executives during that era of her employment, and Bob Kennedy was the general manager. And she called me up and said, Mr. Kennedy would like to see you in his office as soon as possible. And so I went over to Wrigley Field, walked in. It was, I mean, very little lighting. I mean, it was a darkly lit room. And as I'm telling you this story, I'm just giving you the facts. I walked in. He was at his desk. He said, I want to talk to you about this boycott, this snub the Cubs. I said, yes. And then for about 2 minutes, it seemed like 20 minutes, but it was a couple minutes, he called me every name in the book and names I've never heard of. And and so then he said, you can leave now. And the irony of this story, Steve, is that I was going to have lunch with him the following week. So, and it was planned. So after he called me every name in the book and told me, you know, I'm going to threaten lawsuits, I'm going after you, so on and so forth, I'm halfway out the door to exit his office. And I turned around and I said, I wasn't trying to be smart about this, but I said, are we still on for next week for lunch? And so
what was his answer in polysyllabic terms?
I want to stay gainfully employed, so I won't use exactly what he said to me, but you can probably guess. So anyway, that was that. But I mean, I was very outspoken about a lot of things that I saw at the time. And you know, I question why Northwestern couldn't be better in sports. And yet they had John Pont, who was a unbelievable human being, running the athletic department. I mean, they had Rich Falk as the basketball coach. And then finally, you know, the hiring of Dennis Green, I think, really turned the corner, because Dennis was very, very outspoken and very passionate and energetic about where this program could go. And so, but those are some topics that we dealt with. Along with Bill Beck, and we had a lot of people call the show that, you know, would give me tips, because we were the only show in town, Steve. That was it. And so we broke a lot of stories, not necessarily because I'm a great journalist, because I was a talk show host. I wasn't a journalist. But when someone wanted to get their point across, they would call me and say, here's the story. And like with the Blackhawks, whether it's Bob Pulford, Eddie Johnson, all these people that went through, you know, the Chicago Stadium, they would call me off the air and say, you know, here's the bottom line. And that's where I got the slogan, here's the bottom line. Because I heard that from so many coaches, GMs, and players.
Yeah. So one of your former intern in 1988, a guy named Mitch Rosen, texted me that you're a great teacher. And you befriended John McDonough, and you helped him get his start in Chicago sports, and we saw kind of an unparalleled rise.
That's correct. So John called me. He was calling the talk show as just a fan. So one day he called me off the air and said, listen, you know, I'm the guy who calls you. Do you have time? Because I would love to get into sports. And he was working for a rental car company at the time. And I said, why don't you come in? And at the time, WCFL was carrying Illinois basketball. So I was free for about two and a half hours when Gale and I were on the radio. I think Dick Martin was doing the play-by-play. Lauren Tate was doing color. And so John comes in to WCFL. The offices were located at Marina Towers on the 16th floor. And John comes in. And he expressed an interest in sports. And so, again, to make sure that the timeline is accurate, we did not have social media. We didn't have the internet. We had nothing. I would have press guides. And press guides, usually a directory. It would have player profiles on the front office. But it would always include the address of a specific team. and marketing director, broadcast director, PR, so on and so forth. And we went through every press guide in every sport. And I am not embellishing this. He walked out with a ton of paper of every team. And weeks later, I get a call from Lee Stern, the owner of the Chicago Sting of the North American Soccer League at the time. And for your listeners that are kind of young that may not understand who the Sting were, very successful because John McDonough off the field took them to a height never seen before. They had the talent, but John marketed them big time at Comiskey Park and at Wrigley Field. And so that's how he got his start. And then a few years later, at home, I got a call, no cell phones, landline. I got a call from Jim Finks, who is the president of the Cubs. And he had been very good to me when he was, you know, with the Bears. He calls me up and he goes, Charlie, he never called me Chuck. He goes, Charlie, he goes, Charlie, yes or no, would you hire John McDonough? And I said, Mr. Finks, he's great. I would. Thanks very much. Click. It was like an eight-second conversation.
Charlie. I love that.
Actually, you know, Steve, you know, like I grew up Charlie. I had never had Chuck pinned to my name until I was in college when I was introduced on the radio as Chuck Swirsky. Actually, I prefer Charlie, but Chuck has stuck. So it is what it is. But my family and very, very dear friends call me Charlie.
I know I'm running late, and I'm going, but I don't want to miss the opportunity. People joining us now, Sports Talk has gotten to this point. Chuck Swirsky was the first one to do it on a weeknight basis, 7 to 11 on WCFL, 43 years ago today. He made his debut. Chuck, what do you think about what you have wrought, the state of Sports Talk today?
Well, I haven't brought anything. I mean, you know, I happened to be at the right place at the right time, and Chicago was ready for it. And then, obviously, different layers, different chapters have been written. There are so many wonderful, outstanding sports talk show hosts in Chicago and elsewhere. Management under the, you know, leadership of Mitch Rosen. I'm very, very proud of Mitch and the man, number one, he's become as a human being because I knew where he was headed. And he's a wonderful man, period. You know, with his wife, Mary, and his son, Ben. And that's what I get joy. We've had a lot of great interns that have remained in this marketplace. You know, I think of guys like Ryan Baker. I mean, to see Ryan where he's at now warms my heart. You know, I mean, and again, there are so many that I can talk about that I really, it would be sad if I start naming people and left them out. But Sports Talk Radio has never been in better hands. There are so many really gifted sports talk hosts that, you know, I think the world is their oyster.
Chuck, I appreciate what you started. I appreciate you. You're a man who wakes up and chooses passion, enthusiasm, happiness, positivity. And I'm really grateful you came on to talk about that with me today.
Well, it's been my pleasure. And you know what? I mean, I'm so blessed and so thankful and so grateful. And you know what, Steve? I'll tell you what. I do have a favor to ask of you, though. And this is a shameless plug, but I'm in the final stages of my book. And once it becomes, you know, to fruition, if we could come back and talk about, you know, different phases of my world with some stories, that'd be awesome.
Chuck, you be my co-host for 3 hours and we'll do all the chapters you want. I would love to sit and trade stories with you for 3 hours. You let me know. It's you're right here. You got a spot. You got a microphone.
Yep. Thank you. It's about Chicago, but it's about when I was at the University of Michigan with the Raptors, with the Bulls, even before then. So it's all good stuff. But thank you.
I'm looking forward to it. You got it, Chuck. Thank you again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Chuck Swirsky, voice of the Bulls, voice of so much of sports talk. I just, what a thing. And I'm serious. Whenever that book gets close to publication, Chuck's going to be in. We're going to spend 3 hours or more, depending on what the aforementioned intern Mitch Rosen allows us to do. So we're late, and we're coming up with a man who will appreciate my stop in Albuquerque. Say my name. His name is Mark Rohde. Next, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.